Hello, and welcome to the Sunshine Sound Podcast with your host, Christine Mathias.
The proper planning and PR and all that kind of stuff that goes along with actually releasing a record, music videos, all that stuff, we weren't really prepped for. And as sad as it may sound, sometimes the music isn't enough. It should be enough, but it's in this day and age, it's almost sometimes it's really sad, but it can be a byproduct, right? It's like the image and the click that you run with, or the record label, or whatever that you have is kind of what people pay attention to. But the music is ultimately what keeps people around.
Hello, and welcome to episode number 16 of the Sunshine Sound Podcast. In this one, I interviewed Rory Morrison and Jason Myers of Bad Vibes. They are an up-and-coming rock band based here in San Diego. They've been described as swamp rock, alt-country, psychedelic, indie, but overall, I'd say they definitely have a really cool classic rock vibe. So in this interview, we talk about a lot of cool stuff like the San Diego music scene and their experience with it, how they got started, which really wasn't too long ago, getting picked up by a label, Bad Owl, and kind of the shift that you have to make a band who really wants to make it. And they are in the process of recording their next album, or finishing up that next album, which they actually recorded analog on tape. So it was really interesting to hear about that process. You'll have to listen in for that. Lots more cool stuff here. Plus, we'll have a chance to listen to a couple of their really rockin' tracks. So enjoy. Today in the studio, I have Jason and Rory from Bad Vibes. Thanks for being here.
Hello, podcast listeners.
Thanks for having us.
Sure.
It's a pleasure.
How you guys doing?
Terrific. Yeah. Just getting our days started with and our evening kicked off, I guess, right?
Good deal.
Yeah. Trying to get in the vibe here. No, this place is awesome. I mean, right in the neighborhood too. South Park is such a rad spot. So, I mean, he lives right down the street. So it's like the hood, you know.
Yeah, it's a spot. It's a good place to be.
Yeah,
for sure.
Definitely.
Yeah, so tell me about Bad Vibes. Like, how would you describe the band?
A bunch of freaking derelicts that got together one day and decided to start a band. I mean, Jason and I have known each other since high school, and we played in groups off and on, from like Battle of the Bands to like forming semi-cohesive groups. And then just kind of, I mean, I started playing guitar because Jason told me. We used to have an art class together, and I just played something on a guitar one day, and he's like, did you write that? And he's like, you should maybe think about playing guitar. And so that's how pretty much it all got started. And then, I would say probably me and this guy have been like the most constant thing throughout at least any band that I've been in. Yeah, for the exception of maybe one brief moment, he wasn't really playing in a band with me, but or at least from my experience, he's played in numerous other bands, but so pretty much got started with us, and then we've always just had a group of good friends / derelicts that just join in, and I think this is the most cohesive group we've had so far.
Cool.
It's definitely, I don't know, I mean, we've been stuck together for a long time now. I feel like maybe
he's really got to think about this. He's like, I feel nervous. Like,
so
all of a sudden,
words,
am I questioning,
you know,
my,
like,
friendship?
So many things, like, to think about.
Yeah. So did you guys grow up in San Diego? Is that where you met?
Yeah,
we did. We grew up in North County, and like he was saying, started playing music up there on and off, lived apart, but kind of always, I don't know, I feel like we always wanted to play more together. Sometimes we were living in different cities, and I think it was about 5 years ago when we actually were both back in town, and like I feel like the past 2 to 3 years we've really tried to kick it up and, you know, did a full-length release last year, and that was like our first sort of major release, major thing that we had put out. We actually were living together in a house up in Normal Heights, like kind of near Kensington, and we built out the back room into like a studio, and we actually recorded the whole album there. And our bass player was actually like engineered the whole thing and recorded it, and then we took it for mixing. We took it to Jordan Andrew and it. Where is it? Audio Design, right? Oh,
cool. Yeah. So this is all as Bad Vibes.
Exactly. Yeah. So this has all been as Bad Vibes, and I'd say, I mean, how long has it been? Like 2 years now?
I would say probably this lineup. I mean, we have kind of, like I said, just like this. We've always had interesting characters join the band, and so it's always been, number one, I feel like finishing that album was like, you know, we were living in like kind of a free-for-all where we were never really sure if anything was ever going to be released. We were always making music together, but to finally get a collection of songs to happen and be put together was, I don't know, for me it was really rare and kind of scary at the same point. Yeah. And then, so I would say probably, I mean, I want to give it like a year and a half, like something like that. Like, I don't even think it's been 2 years since like we got this lineup and we released this album, and then we lost our drummer shortly after the album was released, or we didn't even have the drummer when the album was released. We lost him even before, and he was like an integral part, but now we have a killer drummer that we're super excited and stoked about. But once again, a derelict. He just wiped out on his motorcycle and got a really bad wound. But I mean, he still played a show with like not being able to bend his knee and stuff.
So fortunately, the day of the show.
No, it wasn't okay. The day of the show. Fortunately, he's okay. He's gonna be fine and he's healing up and everything. But yeah, definitely when that happened. I mean, I was gonna say, just going off what he was saying, but there's been a lot of lineup changes for us, like especially in the past year, and I feel like the past like 6 months we've really gotten it kind of dialed in as far as like everyone, you know, like working together and like, you know, practicing well together and putting in the work to like make it happen. And so we're trying to stay busy with recording, and we're going to start seriously working on writing the second album, which hopefully will be coming out probably next year. And then we have another release planned for the fall. That'll be 4 songs, and that'll be coming out sometime in the fall.
Well, I don't know if we have a release date
nailed down exactly. Yeah.
Well, actually, I think we're kind of taking our time, and it's so through the first record, we were getting our record mixed by Jordan Andreen, who runs Audio Design. He's the main engineer producer that works out of there, and he's recorded bands. I mean, you name them, and he's probably either recorded or mixed them in San Diego.
From
like Radio Moscow to all the Midnight Pine people to just like most of the North County bands like Monarch and et cetera. He's an amazing, amazing engineer, and he kind of like took us under his wing, or not took us under his wing, but just really kind of was our fan to a lot of people, and said that, you know, this music's worth a listen. And he actually gave it to Daniel Cervantes from Mrs. Henry and Creature in the Woods, and he has a record label here called Blind Owl. And he picked this up and was like, from there we've just basically been working with Dan and learning the ropes of being on a record label, which is awesome, but has its own challenges. So basically, going back to that release, right now there's plans to do it later than expected for numerous reasons, being out of our control and in our control. I think with the first album, we were so eager to get it out there that the proper planning and PR and all that kind of stuff that goes along with actually releasing a record, music videos, all that stuff, we weren't really prepped for. And as sad as it may sound, sometimes the music isn't enough. It should be enough, but it's in this day and age, it's almost sometimes it's really sad, but it can be a byproduct, right? It's like the image and the click that you run with, or the record label or whatever that you have, is kind of what people pay attention to, but the music is ultimately what keeps people around. So anyway, we're working on a music video. We're filming it the first weekend of July, And we've pretty much done it all DIY. Dan's lent us his warehouse, and we've built basically a sound stage. And we basically brought all these artists together from San Diego to do projections, editing, filmmaking, et cetera, et cetera. So it's been a big project, but we're trying to like take our time and make sure that we don't jump to a conclusion of when we're going to actually release it. Definitely, I would say probably by the end of fall, early winter.
Sure.
Is when we're trying to get it out.
So is that video going to be for one of the songs off your new release?
Yeah. Yeah.
Cool.
Yeah.
That's exciting. So you've already recorded?
It's done.
It's
in the can. The masters are there. The artwork is almost there. And this video is being filmed. So for the first time ever, we're trying to have everything done before we even schedule anything
out.
And then just take our times and make sure. A problem for a lot of bands, like, you know, that are where we're at, is that, you know, we all work and have to live and make somewhat of a living in order to do what we like. So the more days we take off, the more time spent outside of, you know, our work schedules, et cetera, kind of depletes whatever time people can get off. So we're just really trying to make it like a solid punch, you know what I mean? And try to take it where it wants, because nobody in the band wants to be working their 9-to-5s, you know?
Mm-hmm.
We want to be doing music full time. And so through some insight through other people and just being a part of the scene and playing music, it's just you get smarter and wiser about how to do things.
Yeah. You know? So is this a different approach than you've had in other bands?
I mean, I feel like it was like, I don't know. Maybe it starts out as kind of like a ragtag thing where you're like, hey, let's play a show. Let's do this. Let's do that. And then maybe at some point you decide that you want to try to start, you know, just thinking about, I don't know, like, where are you kind of putting in your time and where are you putting in your work and trying to find, like, you know, I mean, as Rory was saying, like, the balance between, you know, doing music and doing other things, you know, pursuing other things that you want to pursue, you know, whatever that might be. But I think ultimately what we've realized is that we do want to be doing this, you know, as much as we can. And so it's about trying to take steps to make sure that we can keep doing that. And I mean, you want to see a progression, I think, in all things. Like, you want to see yourself, you know, not only hopefully playing bigger and better shows, but also improving, you know, as a musician and as a band. And I think too, I mean, we have a few shows that we're kind of like trying to book now for summer and a few things that may be coming up, but we're kind of taking the rest of this month off just to really kind of focus on getting our album, sort of getting some things, like really starting to flesh that stuff out. So, because we've kind of been, I mean, we've been playing, you know, we started this year off, we played some shows on the road and stuff, and that was great, but we were definitely, you know, burning the candle kind of at both ends and playing a lot. And I don't know, it's like this town too. I mean, you want to play enough so that people are like, oh, these guys are around, but you don't want to play too much because people are like, oh, I'll just go see them next week, or, you know, I'll go, or I just won't see them, you know, which is cool.
Right.
Yeah.
That's cool.
And I think going back to kind of like the initial question too is, you know, obviously you get better at your craft, and music is storytelling. Both Jason and I are lit majors, and, you know, we love stories. We love art. We love film, everything that goes into it. And I think once you realize, and kind of going back, I was just thinking about the comic I meant, like, music is a byproduct, but so is everything else. And it's kind of this cohesive web of like this thing you're trying to present. And I think that first album, it is a great album. There's a lot of storytelling in it, but that came out of that kind of mentality. Like, let's just write a bunch of songs so we can play shows. And then as we were playing shows, we'd write other songs and stuff like that. But it wasn't a concept, or it wasn't, you know, the story kind of formulates itself, which happens sometimes as it goes along. And I think this next thing we're about to release is more of a cohesive story and more of a cohesive message being presented. And I think that's probably because we're getting old and boring.
So what's the message for this album?
The album's called Wars, Drugs, and Prayer. And, I don't know. I feel like you could kind of sum it up in those words right there. But if you look at anything, if you look at like wars, it kind of has to do with like battle, and a battle within yourself, and a battle, you know, that we constantly see throughout human history. You know, it's everyone, it's present in everyone's life. And then, you know, there's the bigger scale of actual wars, you know, and kind of, I think all those things tie in together. So drugs would be like what we're addicted to, or what are habit forming things, or, you know, what we need in order to feel good in life. Right. And prayers is like kind of at the end of the days after doing all the wars and drugs, you're just like, please, sweet Jesus, like, please help me out. Yeah.
Hopefully it gets better.
Hopefully it gets better. But then also it's like the lament for that. And then also prayers is one of those things that, you know, ties us all in together, as well as part of the reason why wars and drugs are done, you know? And so, yeah, so that's, it's very much in that concept. And there's, it's kind of a, it's a very concise record. I wouldn't even call it an EP. I would call it like, it's like,
what are we calling it now?
I don't know what we're calling it. We're gonna
something new.
Some derivative of an album, but not exactly an album, you know.
I'm still calling it an EP for the record. I'm fine with that.
For the record,
I'm fine with a four
song EP.
How the
fuck are we gonna sell records? No,
yeah, so please buy our record when it comes out. As you can see, we're doing big things here. We got big dreams, and
yeah, so how many
we're putting
tracks?
It out there.
There's only four. That's why I wanted to call it an
yeah,
EP.
Yeah, four songs. So, but it's like probably, what, 20, 25 minutes. So we're going to put it out on vinyl.
Oh, yeah, cool. So this is actually hilarious, is that after we recorded the album, you know, they like one thing that's smart and that also you have to deal with when you're, you know, someone's helping you put out something. Mm-hmm. Is, you know, you want to tour off that record, etc. And I told Daniel, I was like, I want to go back into the studio, right away. Because it's like, it's what happens is, like, those songs that we played on that record, or that is on No One Safe, those were written a year and a half before they came out, year before they came out. So it's like, once they come out, you're just... it's like babies that you send off to college or want to get rid of. Like, you're 18, yeah, you're out. You know what I mean? Like, 18 months and you're
kick
out.
Kick them to the curb.
Seriously. Right, yeah. No, but so we went into the studio with Jordan Andreen, and he had tape. You know, he has an analog console, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. So he goes, hey, man, I have these tapes. I'm just going to use them on you guys. And Dan and Jordan produced this album. So they're like co-producers on this one. They helped us out in the studio and stuff. And so we didn't know what we were getting ourselves into, but...
yeah, the records, it's all analog. So the whole thing was recorded, edited, mixed, mastered on tape, and then we're going to press it onto vinyl.
I didn't know anyone still did that.
I didn't know anyone did that either. And after doing it, I know why no one does it, because it's
traumatizing.
Yeah, it's a traumatic experience.
Is there a lot more pressure to get stuff done in the first or second take?
Well, you would think that there would be, but I feel like in our case, we didn't really maybe fully understand the importance, which was maybe a curse and a blessing, because at the end of the day, I mean, that's kind of the thing, is I feel like tape really exposes your sound. Like, you can't really hide behind it. Like, right. If your guitar, like, I don't know, if something was too loud, or if the levels, like, whatever they were, or however the sound was captured, like, that's the way that it's gonna come across for the most part. So hopefully it sounds good. And
yeah, so you can't, like, go back and, like,
you,
fix a little
you can't.
Bit,
sort
can you?
Of, sort of, you kind
can,
of.
You can't do, for example, you can't do what you can do in digital, or at least it doesn't sound good when you do, like, when you do it this way. But, I mean, we even recorded the first album like this, because we were working on a little... I don't know. I think it's like a little Tascam digital 8-track recorder.
Like an 8-track
we've never, with the exception of doing pre-production on songs, we've never really recorded using Logic or Pro Tools or anything like that. So it's always kind of been in this mentality. But so basically, you can't like record a solo, cut half the solo, and then bring in like another one, or you can't.
Yeah.
You know, there's certain things too on tape that like. Well, Jordan's an extremely talented engineer. He can make cuts that you would never think people could make cuts to. He's a freaking musical genius. And if anybody in San Diego wants to record with like somebody that's going to challenge you, it's definitely him. And we got into fights. Jordan and I are really good friends, as well as everyone in the band, with everyone who we were dealing with. And one of the things is the traumatic experiences. You know, we were yelling at each other, and I was calling them parrots and da 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 da. We were just, we like, there's some serious moments.
You got to go a little bit mad with tape, and then you got to roll up a bunch of tape and, you know, freak
yeah,
out
somehow.
And scream.
And no, and that's the thing, the physicality of it.
That everyone right? is proud of, hopefully.
The physicality of it is pretty crazy.
Yeah.
Because it's not, you look at this computer screen, mm-hmm. and it's a computer screen. Mm-hmm. It's, there's tape. At one point, it was funny. I remember he took two bar stools and he put them out and he ran them from the tape machine through the bar stools. And we were literally hitting, like punching tape or slapping tape, and it would make like the song go, whoa, like, you know what I mean? Yeah. Like the physicality
weird,
of it.
Weird shit.
Yeah, weird. Yeah. Like
weird tape delay. I mean, what are those things? Is that like, what were some of those effects? Like the echoes and the,
we were using echoplexes.
Yeah, the echoplexes.
So all the
super analog, like all this
so
stuff
cool.
that you can really just.
Running. There's like some, there's some spoken word poetry stuff over it or some weird chants. And we took an old, like, 1930s oh, yeah. microphone and ran it through an old 1950s, like, reverb delay amp. I mean, there's just so many things that we did that were just... We just, like, I feel like we learned so much from the process, but also it was just... I mean, yeah, we're super, super spoiled. That was an amazing way to record a record. And I would definitely like to record a record like that again, but with a little bit more preparation. Like
more
I said,
preparation.
we jumped into yeah. that thing, like not having lyrics for half the song. Like, no,
really?
We
had lyrics. They just wanted to
no,
rewrite them in
no,
the studio. The day of.
No, we,
the lyrics were written. They
no,
just weren't rewritten.
No,
yet.
No, for The Well, you didn't even have, like, you mumbled lyrics.
Oh, I had those lyrics.
No, in
I
your head?
Them.
In your head?
They
or
exist.
What?
I don't know. I thought we had, we did rewrite some lyrics.
Yeah, Jason
like,
and I stayed up one day, like, writing, like, revising and writing lyrics. And then we get to the studio, and because they're so, by the way, children, when you give your friends production rights, that means something completely different than what we thought, which is also, it's like they have the same amount of, which is also extremely collaborative and anarchist. And we love that type of, you know, where it's like people are passionate about what they're going to put out because it's, they have an attachment to it. So anyway, so they were like, no, we liked them better when Jason was mumbling on the first takes and just singing and stuff like that. So we, in the studio when Jason was doing his vocals, you know, we're on a time crunch too, and we're just rewriting all the lyrics that we had spent a whole entire night rewriting. So it's so it's cool. It puts you on your spot. It puts you on the spot and makes you smart. You know,
hopefully.
Yeah. Very cool. I think it's going to work really well with your sound because you definitely have kind of like a 70s influence sound. Yeah.
Yeah. Well, I think people are going to be actually really shocked too because this stuff that we just released, it's still in the same vein, but it's a little, we try to be a little more concise and a little less proggy. I don't know. I feel like we just kind of, there's less movements in the music. There's a lot of tone stuff that we concentrated on, but less kind of in your face changes and stuff
sure.
like that. And I think
dramatic orchestration.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah, there's definitely
less
over
dramatic orchestration. More trying to find like some grooves and like some pockets.
Yeah.
And I think that's overall, hopefully people
Which
find
is-
that a little bit more pleasant, you know.
Which is weird too,
maybe
because
not.
I think when people make studio records, they have like an over dramatic arrangement, and that was us
orchestral
stuff, and that was us like when we were writing these. I think too, you just learn to be a better songwriter,
yeah.
and
you
learn how to get one point across, and then save whatever it is you are like thinking about for the next song. And I think even the stuff, because I mean, we're already a good amount of songs into the next album, and I feel like we're probably gonna have, and this is like probably no joke, but upwards of like 40 songs like that we have to pick from. And
nice.
And we're kind of thinking of this new route of just two releasing singles in between this release, or we're thinking about releasing some singles very, very soon and a cover, and then releasing this EP album, whatever you want to call it, and then be releasing stuff in the between that. And
yeah.
You know what I mean? Because I also think, too, it's like you have to kind of take advantage of like a new model, which the new model is, I mean, you can release something to, you know, through the interwebs now. I mean, you don't have to have such a crazy process behind it as well. And I think it keeps the band moving, and I think it keeps things exciting to just see what kind of feedback and that you're getting from sending stuff out. And then also, like, it creates, like, in your mind, you're like, nothing is too precious. Mm-hmm. You know, I feel like as a songwriter, you're like, this is the most precious thing ever, and I'm never totally. Gonna, like, and it's never yeah. perfect, and it's never right, and then you just end up living in a world full of, like, unfinished masterpieces, right? You're like, this is my fucking Magnus opus, and it's gonna be the greatest thing ever, and then it's like, you never put it out there, so.
Sounds like my weekend, bro.
Totally. You know, let's take a quick break here. We're gonna listen to one of your tracks, one of your older tracks. This one is called Strange Love.
Yeah.
We've actually been talking about doing podcasts for like a long time, and we actually started some on the road podcasts. Not Jack Kerouac, like we're not really doing poetry, but it's like what goes down in the tour bus, or like
it could
what
be kind called of, poetry. Yeah, depending on how twisted and sick your version of poetry is.
Have you been recording any?
Oh yeah, and then we actually our good friend from Mrs. Henry, the bass player, Blake Lindquist.
Shout out to Blake.
Shout out to Blake if you're listening, baby. Love you. Anyways, he went on tour with us, and he actually recorded almost everything that went down on the bus.
Did he?
Yeah, no, he recorded a lot. And and then he also just recorded just the shows and our antics. Yeah, I know. Blake, if you're listening, delete everything.
I mean, it's, you go a little crazy, but that's part of, I think, just being on the road and being on, you know, trapped with five or six dudes in a van. And
sure. Where did you guys tour?
Well, this time we went through Arizona. We played in Flagstaff. We played a show in Vegas. We did a show in San Francisco. Did we go anywhere else, really?
No. We skipped Santa Cruz because there's so much acid in Santa Cruz.
We played in Tempe, so
it's a reason to avoid it.
Yeah.
Yeah, but we've played up there before.
If you've been to the trash hovel that we went to go take acid in, yeah, I think it's Santa Cruz is avoidable. But, no, I mean, I think also, too, to just speak on that those kinds of interactions that will hopefully one day be released, is I feel like the band, like, we're all pretty good friends with each other, and we all are brutally honest with each other, so at this point it's just no one gets any flack, you know.
I'm not friends with them, bro.
That's why they're
like
not here.
They're like my best friends. Yeah.
But it's funny. Friends. It's like no one. It's like there's no such thing as a PC patrol in our band, and everything gets said at like things that you wish would not get said and openly. So, I mean, that's kind of like a freedom in that. And then it's also, too, it's like, that's the justice, you know? It's just the freedom of having that. And so, yeah, things will get out of hand. But then it's so funny. I feel like I'll yell at people or people will yell at me. And then we find a way to just bring it back, have a little talk. And then, like, a day later, where everyone's back to normal, you know? That's happened recently. It's happened so many times. So,
yeah,
it's a good dynamic to have, because otherwise
it's like a rite of passage to get fired or quit the band and then you know, rejoin or not, you know.
That's also a rite of passage for some.
No, but I don't know. He's like tried to quit. I don't think I've tried to quit. I don't think I've ever tried to quit yet.
So. No, I've definitely tried to quit.
Yeah. But, you know, I don't know. I mean, there's going to be those moments, but I feel like you got to keep on rolling.
Yeah, I think anything intense is worth it, you know?
Absolutely.
Yeah. Or not sometimes, but...
No, it's worth it.
Yeah, okay. Cool. <We're> gonna... Shout out to Blake, too.
Give it up.
So you said, did you tour with another band? Is that what you said?
No. Okay. We actually went on tour by ourselves. Okay. Blake from Mrs. Henry is another band in San Diego. He's the bass player. He's actually playing in Schizophrenics now, too, as well.
Okay.
But yeah, he went on tour with us, and he was like he's just the sweetheart. So, you know, he just pretty much tried to cuddle everyone, and we're like, dude, not like that.
He came to photograph too, and I mean, we had filmed some stuff. We had some ideas for videos, and we may release some of that stuff as promos. We did some shoots and stuff out there. We've put up some of the photos and stuff, but that was also part of the reason why.
Yeah.
Why he came. And yeah, I mean, it's nice too. I mean, if you're trying to, you know, you have somebody doing merch and stuff like that is helpful.
Oh yeah, that's really nice. Yeah. And so what does your label do for you? Like what's awesome about being on a label?
I mean, number one, I think we really got involved because of a camaraderie, you know. I think San Diego, and this hopefully somebody listens to this that actually gives a damn, but it's very clicky.
Yeah.
It's very clicky. And we've really tried to play with people that do not sound like us. And I mean, we've had shows with, for example, Hexa and Blood Ponies. We played with them, and I would say our sound is not necessarily their sound. We like their music, but we don't sound like them.
Yeah.
And I think part of San Diego's stupidity is not realizing that, like, if you book a show with three different bands and they're good bands, it's the 21st century. Everyone listens to all kinds of music. Chances are the people that are coming to see this band, but it just becomes this, like, it's like kind of jock shit. You know what I mean? It's like musical jock shit. It's like, I'm with these people. I'm goth, or I'm like psych, or I'm like this, or I'm that. And thus I'm going to hang out with these people, which is like, it's funny when you find a like chip in that armor, because it's just like, man, like, you're acting the same way that we all, musicians and artists, rebel against, right? So, anyway, so I think we found that camaraderie in Blind Owl, and I think we do have similarities between the bands that are on there, but we also don't sound anything like them. And for them, I remember when Daniel approached us, we were super honored, right? Because a lot of things have been said about our band, or our, like, what we do, etc., who we are, our music. So it was good to hear it from somebody that we looked up to. Dan's in a project that, you know, I've always loved, which is Creature in the Woods. Mrs. Henry's always been fantastic. Taken by Canadians has always been an amazing band as well. So just to hear that was something that they wanted us to be, and they wanted to support us, is always important. So yeah, so the record label does that, and so they help us out with, for example, analog recording.
Nice.
You know, and then the other difficulty too is, which it kind of puts you in the hot seat, is now it's like we can't be like a fun loving, like, oh, we're soul skaters. We just do this for, like, you know what I mean? Because now we got to pay back all this analog recording we did, which is important, because then it pushes you to find an audience outside of San Diego, which is, you can be the greatest band in San Diego and play San Diego for the whole entire life. But if that's what you want to do, beautiful, like, kudos to you. But like, it's like, we've always dreamt of playing other places. I think any artist dreams of going somewhere with their music. You know, I mean, one of the beautiful things that we have as musicians is to be able to tour, and you get to go experience new cultures, new ways of life, et cetera, right? So now we gotta make something out of this. It's like, now we're, you know, it's the American dream. We're horribly in debt, you know, and now we gotta do something about it, you know, and we gotta lift ourselves up from our bootstraps. Which also, you know, makes a man or a woman out of you. When you have responsibilities, you kind of dial back the partying a little bit and try to get a little hold in life, you know?
Sure, yeah. Do you think that, like, I feel like we lose a lot of bands to L.A. when they're trying to get to a certain level.
L.A. or New York.
Or New York. Like, are you
or San Francisco.
Are you guys set on staying in San Diego?
I hate L.A.
Fuck L.A. Yeah, no, I'm right? Just, no, I mean, I love all the bands that are out of L.A., yeah. But my brother lives up there. I can't fucking stand traffic. Mm-hmm. That is the most horrible travesty, if you are willing.
I mean, everyone hates L.A., though. Everyone fucking
hates L.A. We're never gonna get bored. Yeah, yeah, fuck L.A., dude, fuck y'all.
No, I mean, it's, I don't know, I would love, I mean, we're, you know, hopefully we'll be playing up there, and so many friends and great bands, obviously. I mean, it's definitely the hot spot, and people do skip San Diego. I mean, you'll see when a lot of big acts come through, like, they'll do, like, somewhere in the Bay Area, they'll do L.A., maybe they'll come to Orange County, and then they're just...
Yeah.
So, I don't know. I mean, it does kind of happen, but I think as far as, like, you know, being a band that, you know, wherever you hail from, I mean, I love San Diego, and I love, you know, living here, and I love playing music here, and I love also, I mean, I think... It's just like, this place is so, I don't know, it's a really great spot, and we do want to get out, and we do want to play around as much as possible, but I like the idea of having a place like this as a home base and not feeling like I have to go up to LA with like 30 million other people and do that hustle and bustle, which, I mean, even here, I mean, even San Diego's getting to the point where it's just, I mean, it's hard to make it, you know, it's... Hard, you know, rents are always going up, and it's, you know, I mean, it's all that stuff that we all deal with, you know, trying to make it work here. But I personally think it's worth it. I mean, I think it'll, you know, hopefully be worth it for some time to come, and I want to keep playing.
I think
always be playing here, and hopefully also always be playing elsewhere. You know?
I think that's part of the problem, though, is LA is built around arts and entertainment.
Yeah.
Like San Diego, we have, like, if you look at it, and I've dealt with museums and done other projects besides music, and it's the way that San Diego is constructed, your main enemy is the sun and the beach, right? If you're in the arts, because yeah, it's like everyone, no, it's fucking, no, because yeah, San Diego is the most beautiful place. You can go to the desert, the mountains, the ocean, and the city all in one day, mm-hmm, which is, where else do you get that? Like nowhere. And it's beautifully inspiring, et cetera, et cetera. It's also harrowing and fucking scary, and like has the seedy parts that you can go and have a really good time in. You have Tijuana, which is, in my opinion, probably a even more cultural epicenter than San Diego, mm-hmm, is. Anyway, so you have all these things culminating, which would make a great city. But it's like, to motivate people to go see the arts, mm-hmm, to motivate people to understand that here in San Diego, you have great local artists and musicians, is fucking a difficult task. And trust me, yeah, like, although we're on a label and like we get help, like every single show we play, out of our own pockets, we're taking money and we're paying an artist to do a poster, and we're going single-handedly around town riding our bikes or like taking our cars out and putting them up everywhere. So it's like, I can understand why people go to LA, San Francisco, New York, because there's more of a culture, yeah, where on a Tuesday you're going to go out to a show, mm-hmm, where you're going to go see like, and you're going to go to an art opening, or you're going to go to a fucking circus, or you're going to go watch midgets fight. I don't know. Whatever it is, it's more of an...
Where is that again? I want to go there.
Well, you live in San Francisco. They actually prefer the term little people. So. Anyways, you know what I'm getting at. It's just, it's harder to get people to go out. And even I find myself in that kind of space of mind sometimes too. It's like, I will go and support friends and go to shows and stuff like that, but sometimes I find myself being like, eh, you know?
Sure.
And it's also, it's an attitude of the city. It's not, I think it's something that has to be broken, but it's also something that's going to take a really large initiative to do it, which I think people are trying to do it, and I congratulate them for it, as well as mm-hmm, all the bands in San Diego. We don't hate you. We love you because you guys...
Yeah, we love all the bands.
Yeah, we love you guys. We want to play. All.
Yeah, like,
we want to play with you, everybody. And we want to touch you guys. And we wanna, you know, not like that. I mean, like, maybe, but, you know. No, we want to be friends. And, yeah, I think that's part of the other thing, too, is there's less opportunity here, and that's what also creates the clickiness of San Diego, is that everyone is fighting for some promoter or for some venue or for somebody and pushing another band aside, when really what you should be doing is trying to harness that. And, yeah, I mean, we're trying to do that in, like, the music videos and stuff that we're doing, but also we're hosting... We've done two so far, and we're doing another one August 10th at the Whistle Stop, which is right down the street.
Uh-huh. Is it the 10th or the 11th, is it?
The 10th.
Okay.
The 10th. It's
Bad
a Friday.
Vibes and Good Friends.
Yeah, Bad Vibes and Good Friends. And basically we get 3 to 5 different artists, graffiti artists, photographers, painters, fine artists, painters, etc. Yeah, right, and we have them put up their art there, and then we book 3 completely different bands.
Oh, wow.
The last one we had La Ra from Tijuana, which is an all-girls Latina psych ride.
They're kind of,
it's like massive. They, I don't know, Portishead, massive. It's a wonderful conglomerate of great music. And then we had... our friend's band, Tino Dreamo, which plays, like, I don't know, what'd you say, like, New Soul or some shit?
Weirdo. New Soul,
they're from San Francisco, so you gotta, like, you know, give them a pass on that one. But, and then we had Creature in the Woods, which is, like, folk Americana, and then we played. So it's just, like, we're trying to do our job, our due diligence, mm-hmm, to kind of stand behind what we're trying to talk about. So we haven't booked bands yet, so if you guys hear this and you want to play, holler at us.
Very cool. And the Whistle Stop is such a cool space.
Love that place. Craig is our boy. Yeah. Shout out to Craig. Oliver.
Good. Like, that is one spot where, like, I think a problem with a lot of places in San Diego is there isn't much foot traffic, but you definitely get that at Whistle Stop, which is very cool.
Well, especially on a Friday at Whistle Stop. You know what I mean? And that's kind of, thank God for Craig. And Craig and I have never, or have not always seen eye to eye, but recently he's been giving us the opportunity based off the success of other ones. And I think him kind of hearing that we want to do this because we want to book bands that are not like us, you know?
Yeah.
has opened that door to Friday nights, because usually Friday nights at the Whistle Stop are insane. So God bless you, Craig.
Like a DJ in Friday nights.
Yeah. Well, we have a DJ, and actually, I'm trying to book Waldo Oswaldo, who's this man who pretends to be a puppet, but is not a puppet, but he's just one of the weirdest, wackiest dudes. So also bringing
a special character.
He's a special character, and if you guys come out to that show, it's gonna be cool. If we can get him there, I'm pleading and begging him.
It'll become a masquerade.
Yeah, it will literally become. Yeah, it'll be beautiful. It'll be beautiful.
Nice.
Yeah. So.
Cool. Let me play another one of your tracks. This one's called "She Reverie."
Sad song.
Oh,
Okay, and we're back. That's a cool track. So that's kind of your older sound. Would you say? Do you have any of your newer songs in 6/8?
Do we?
No.
No.
No. I don't know. I can't count. I've never been a counter.
I don't think so.
Boom, I think
The new stuff, well, the songs we have on this one, there's nothing in 6/8, but
okay. Yeah.
We're going to write some more. I like to write some weird timing stuff.
Sure.
I always like to see if I can get it to feel like it's not in a weird time, but like it is. Like, I think there's one thing that's like an 11 count. It's like an 11-8 or an 11 something. But it feels like, it doesn't really feel like it. It just kind of grooves. So,
well, She Reverie doesn't even really
She Reverie
feel
it. Has that like 6/8 6/8 part. Yeah.
But I wrote that song and I don't count. So if it's in whatever signature, but I mean, yeah, it has that boom, 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 boom. Yeah. It kind of has a, like a waltz, I guess, to it. So it's got, it's got some sort of count. I don't know, count it out. But,
Do you guys write all the music then, the two of you?
No. I would say the first album. The first album is primarily me and him. And then with the exception, the keyboard player has one song on there. But everything's like pretty collaborative. For the most part, our friend Blake, who did the documentary, he's like, dude, I've never seen a band work more democratic in the studio. He actually came in to film us in the studio. Like I said, nothing. No one can rest on a high horse.
There's almost too much equality in the band in a lot of ways, you know? Kind of like in communism, like where everyone has equality, so no one has it, you know?
Yeah.
Like we're all equal, so like no one's equal, you know?
Yeah, but who stopped, you know?
No, it is super collaborative. Everyone contributes. People have all contributed songs and written parts, and we're always just trying to look at like what is the best thing that's going to serve the song, and how can we try to make this a cohesive sound. And I don't know, I mean, it's challenging. It's always, I think musicians, a lot of musicians can play, but not a lot can listen, and like you got to listen to what other people are doing. And we kind of walk the line between like wanting to just improvise everything and wanting to plan everything out like super meticulously. Mm-hmm. And I think we kind of go like, in some ways we go both ways. Like it's about trying to harness that creativity and keep that like that creative energy flowing, but also direct it in a way that like makes sense and that like is going to sound good. I mean, ultimately, if you want to make people dance or if you want to make people, you know, snap their fingers
or cry.
I mean, I don't know. I mean, whatever it is, I mean, there is a way to achieve that. And how do you go about achieving that? I mean, I think, whoops, don't do that. That's not how you achieve it, by bumping the mic.
Or maybe, you know.
Yeah, happy accidents.
Yeah.
So. Cool. Yeah, but definitely the next stuff that we're producing is more collaborative, because I think, like we were talking about at the beginning of the podcast, there's been so many member changes that it's hard to know who to trust. So when someone first joins the band, you go like, here, learn this. And then slowly, as everyone spends more time together, you kind of get to trust their abilities and also know what their, you know, abilities actually are.
Well, and I feel like there's certain things where collaboration works really well. Like, if you're going to figure out, like, maybe a drum part and, like, a bass groove and you want to all be there and kind of play it, try it different ways. Mm-hmm. But then, like, writing lyrics is kind of hard with four people or five people.
Oh, it's impossible.
You can do it. It's just going to be really hard and you're going to be pulling your hair out at the end. So I think there's just different approaches for different things. But I think... yeah, we've definitely, I mean, we have been the main writers. He writes a lot. I mean, he writes a lot of stuff, stuff that gets, I mean, used in tons of stuff that's just, like, in some library or some vault that he keeps, like, all the hits in there. I don't know.
But. I'm saving them for, like, when Freddie Mercury resurrects. And
yeah, exactly. But we're always trying to refine that kind of process, too, and... Do you try to come to the band with a complete idea and say, this is what we're doing, you play this, you play that, or do we say, here's like a few ideas, let's play this part into that part and see what people do. And we've done it both ways, and it's like sometimes it works one way. I mean, we've had it where we've really planned everything out and we've gone in and it's worked really well. And then we've had it where we've tried to go like free form and just let people kind of, you know, do what they're going to do, and it doesn't work out, or it does work out. I mean,
it's a happy balance, I think.
Yeah.
But I always think it's important to have at least like a skeleton. And I think too, it's like, you know, when you're younger, you're satisfied with playing like three chords and everyone jamming and taking solos over it. Right. I mean, everyone's had that experience of the first opportunity you have. It's like, do you stay in that pocket though? And I think especially, I went to Montana with my girlfriend recently, and pretty much every day I was riding in this like 360 view of like just beautiful Montana landscape.
What were the mountains that you were by? Like the
the Bitterroot. Yeah. Anyways, it was absolutely gorgeous. Herds of like 70 elk. Gorgeous. Anyways, so I wrote this music and I came back and I showed the band, and Jason was like, yeah, man, like we need to do this exactly how it is. And some of it did end up,
it sounded really good.
It sounded good. No, but then we took it and we started playing with the band, and like, you know, we learned the parts and we went over it again. And then this, like, I was listening to it today because tomorrow we have practice, so we're gonna hopefully go over the song, but that we like broke it down into this jam at the end, and it just became this slow, amazing, hypnotic drone Doors, like, but with like weird drum beats and stuff. And I was just like, man, I would have you can't program that shit.
But it's like, if we didn't go in with the plan to play it this way that led us to come up with that part at the end, which we just wrote because we played the way the planned part, then we came up with this completely new part, which we'll probably end up using.
Yeah.
It's like, I don't know how you, I mean, you just have to.
That's the thing too.
Keep doing it.
Whoever, he has a new song that is amazing, and we played very, like, I was away and they were playing that song, and when I came back, I was like, man, this is amazing. But it's also like, this band is like hurting freaking cats. Like, I could try to be like, play everything exactly like this, and they're gonna be like, fuck you. Yeah, like they're gonna be like, yeah,
we don't listen to, I mean, even if we told each other, we probably wouldn't listen. But that's kind of part of the whole reason why we call ourselves the Bad Vibes in the first place.
Yeah.
Is that where that comes from?
Yeah, we went to a music festival. We went to Austin Psych Fest in 2014, and we drove out there with some friends, and we camped out, and you know, you're at a festival, you're just basically a total pile of shit, just drinking all day and getting sunburned and jumping around in the mud. And so, like, people would come up to us, like, because it's, like, the psych, like, stoner fest, everyone would be, you know, hey, do you want to hit this joint? And we would say, oh, like, yeah, does it have PCP in it? And they would be like, no, like, it doesn't. And we'd be like, no, we're cool. And they would be like, what the fuck is wrong with these guys? But
amongst other things, I think there was like lots of antics.
He was talking about, he kept telling people that there was a herd of pygmy elephants at the festival, and people would freak out and be like, pygmy elephants? You know, oh, yeah, they're this big. They're 3 feet, and they're marching around. There's a whole herd of them, if you guys see them.
Honestly, it's one of the most fun things. If you want to go to a concert where everyone's spaced the hell out.
Yeah, because it's Psych Fest, so everyone's like, you know, on acid, and we're just kind of like, okay, well, this is cool, but like,
I mean,
maybe that's why we were telling everyone they were pygmy.
Yeah.
We would have seen them if we had taken their acid next time.
But yeah, so our friends who we went with from TJ were like, ustedes son las malas vibras, which means you guys are the bad vibes. And like that we were like bringing into this, I guess, like sacred place, you know? So
this hippie temple.
Yeah.
Which is great. I mean, there are so many good bands that we saw, so many great bands we saw. I mean, we saw Fuzz, we saw Mac DeMarco.
Fat White Family.
I mean, there was a lot of great bands.
Chelsea Wolf, yeah.
I feel like that trip, too, I mean, me and him went out there, and we had sort of been playing we had been playing in a different sort of incarnation of the band where we had a girl singer and before that, and so we were kind of trying to find, you know, kind of what the next thing was going to be. And I think for me, just going out there, I'd never been to Austin, but just seeing that whole scene and seeing how big of a festival, you know, like, was being put on for bands that, like, I obviously really liked, and just seeing that it was all about those bands. I mean, yeah. It was all about just whatever, psych or rock or stoner or whatever you want to call that shit, but, you know, just all these fucking awesome bands, and I was like, this is tight. I mean, I want to come to this. I want to play at this. I want to do something like this.
And finding kindred spirits, right? Because, I mean, we weren't so kindred with them at the time, but now we feel you. But just knowing that people are listening to that type of music, you know what I mean? Like, it's, you know, it's an interesting experience when you find out that, like, people like your kind of sound, or people, there's an audience, there's people seeking out music that has this particular vibe to it or whatever.
You know? Yeah, totally.
A bad vibe.
<I'm dumb.
Good deal. laughs> That's great. So do you guys have shows coming up other than that Whistle Stop show?
We do Whistle Stop right now. So, like, so kind of how Jason was talking about it, we're taking some time off. Well, it's not even kind of, I don't know, just stuff happens, man. Sure. And it's not even like, it's not even intentional, but at the end of the day, it's just like, we need to get.
What happened again? You gotta tell.
Yeah, which one? So. No, I'm just kidding. No, should I not tell?
There's nothing to tell. Don't tell.
Don't tell. Okay, cool. Yeah, you guys will have to just find me on the streets when I'm really drunk.
Don't listen to anyone. No, especially him. But no, what do we have for shows, though? Because we have that Whistle Stop show is in August.
August 10th.
There's going to be more stuff.
August 10th, we have a show at the Whistle Stop. And then right now, we play again Winston's August 24th.
Nice.
So those are the two shows coming up, and then we might be playing, our good friends from San Francisco, the Haw Band, the Human Assembly, are coming down, and they do this yearly kind of around 4th of July show at the American Legion, which our first time playing it, just seeing guns and just
like... Well, they usually do a benefit, because it's for around 4th of July, there's a lot of vets, so they'll do a fundraiser and have like a big show and a big cookout around. It's usually the weekend before 4th of July, and that's in North County at American Legion. So hopefully we'll be doing that as well.
Definitely. It's always a good time. And as we are against war, but, you know, also we are against how horribly people get treated when they come back from war. So we're always willing to play a show for, you know, people of different mindset, but they need the help, you know, so.
We're all people.
Yeah. I guess so. Anyways, pleasure talking to you, and thanks for having us.
And where you guys are on the socials?
Facebook is Bad Vibes, Bad Vibes San Diego. Our Instagram is We Are Bad Vibes. And you can check us out there. We have our albums everywhere, iTunes, Spotify.
Nice.
Called No One Safe.
It's called No One Safe. We also have cassettes and CDs available.
Ooh, of that.
Yeah, we just
cassettes. Way better.
People like them. They're weird, and
they're coming back.
Yeah, they're cheap. I mean, they're cheap and they're fun, and I think ours turned out pretty neat.
Sounds good. Yeah. It's a different master too for it, so it sounds different than the digital copy.
We actually have a few copies at Vinyl Junkies, I think.
Yeah,
Vinyl.
Right? Yeah, yeah.
And the street, yeah.
There's gonna be some. So shout out to Vinyl Junkies. Go by there anyway, not to look at our music, but to look at all the other cool shit. And then I'm gonna, I gotta go drop some off. We're gonna have some up at Little Dame Shop as well, up in sort of Normal Heights, up there by Park. Yeah, 30th and Adams up there. And you can also order those and stuff online as well. So check us out. And yeah, we've got more stuff coming out. So stay in touch, stay tuned, turn on, tune in, you know,
drop. Pygmy elephants out of airplanes at music festivals.
All right, guys. Thanks for coming to the studio. It was fun.
Thank you. Super fun. Appreciate you.
Thanks again for listening to the Sunshine Sound Podcast. If you want to check out older episodes or find out more about Sunshine Sound Center, you can head on over to sunshinesoundcenter.org. you want to get in contact with me, have any questions or anything, want to suggest some guests, or maybe you want to come on the podcast, you can email me at kristen@sunshinesoundcenter.org. We are also on all the socials, Instagram, Twitter, and Facebook. So check us out on there to get some updates on what we're doing, about future guests, future podcasts. And also we are promoting a lot of the stuff that's going on in the San Diego music scene. Lots of cool stuff there. So one more thank you to Tommy Bobcat for help with the audio engineering and for providing that sweet theme music. That's all I have for you today, but you have a good one, and I'll talk to you again soon.